it, make it, do it. Makes us harder, better, faster.
Richardson, the running back. They give it to him over the right side. Dives. He's in. Touchdown. Trent Richardson.
Weaver looking right corner of the end zone. Throws. Touchdown. Jordan Cameron. What a beautiful throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily. Driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Reading the throw. He's going to go long. Looking long for Gordon. He's out there. He's got it. 10-5. Touchdown. No doubt about it.
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
This is a new time and it's a new team. And, anything else is just noise out there. And we just, guys have to focus on what we're trying to get done and what we're doing right now. And we'll get better.
All right, that's head coach Rob Chudzinski addressing the media this morning in the aftermath, the postmortem of yesterday's 23-10 season opening loss to the Miami Dolphins. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagora, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Anything else is just noise. I get that. I think that's the right message the head coach has to deliver. But we're also going to be part of the noise, too, because you get noise when you lose nine as an organization, as a team, nine consecutive opening games, when you lose 14 of the 15 that have been played in 1999. And no matter what Rob Chudzinski says, no matter what the rest of us say and try to be rational about, people attach those things to the present.
You know, we had hoped that today's show would start off on a little bit of a different tune, Vic, but I get that's what he has to say. But, it'll be our job to assess what we saw in this game, obviously, against the Miami Dolphins. And to be frank, it wasn't pretty. To me, as I looked at it, and I recall last week, listen, I thought the Browns were going to win this game. I thought they were going to win this game. They did not win this game. What I did talk about last week in terms of my concerns for this game, I had a couple. And really, to me, number one was the battle, the matchup between Mitchell Schwartz and Cameron Wake. Mm-hmm. And obviously, Cameron Wake is one of the best players in the NFL at his position. So you can't say that this was,
it was unexpected.
Right.
Mitchell Schwartz was going to have issues with him. But
bottom line.
But is that singly a reason that the Browns lose this football game? And the answer is no.
No. The other thing I was very concerned about was the Brian Hartline matchup. Brian Hartline against Buster Skrine and, of course, Chris Owens. And Brian Hartline goes off for 9 catches, 114 yards, and a receiving touchdown of 34 yards, beating Buster Skrine on that play. And, when you look at this Browns team, what were we worried about all season? We were worried about right cornerback.
Right.
We were worried about, right guard, Anil Cousins, once the injuries happened. That was a disaster, I think, to put it bluntly. We were worried about how would these receivers be able to produce without Josh Gordon in the lineup? And that was answered very quickly. We talked in the preseason. We went through the stats in the preseason. I know preseason stats aren't that important, but I remember saying Josh Gordon's right where he's supposed to be, over 17 yards a catch, over 11 yards a target in this offense of Norv Turner. Greg Little was not. He was averaging 5.5 yards a target. And for him to come in week one and see 10 targets on this team and catch 4 passes for 26 yards, not only that, have a ball go through his hands that results in an interception, that, to me, I worried about his separation all offseason. Yeah. And it was clear he doesn't do a great job of getting open. And I kind of said he's similar to Anquan Boldin, but the difference is Anquan Boldin makes plays when he's covered and can catch footballs in tight windows. And you wonder just how Brandon Weeden would do in general, not only without Josh Gordon, but just how he would do. And there are too many times it seems that he stares down his receivers. There are too many times he seems incapable of delivering the ball into a tight spot.
He needed to do that, Nathan. He needed to put himself above what he was lacking. And I hear what you're saying about the receivers not getting enough separation, not giving the quarterback
enough
help. He needs to make plays. Colin Kaepernick, watching him against the Packers yesterday for the 49ers, my God, he was putting balls through the tightest of windows. I thought in most cases Brandon Weeden dealt with tight windows yesterday in cases where he didn't, where receivers had room, and one stands out in my mind, a Devon Best play that would have easily gone for about 35 yards. He puts it so low that Devon has no chance to catch it, or he's throwing it too high to some guys. So his targeting, his accuracy was not what it needed to be, and when you are dealt with the loss of a Josh Gordon, when you go into this game knowing you don't have your full complement of talent around you, it's the quarterback who makes the plays. It's the quarterback who makes the receivers, not the other way around. And there have been outstanding quarterback plays in this league, or players in this league who play that position, who have done the job with limited help because they can make the plays. Brandon Weeden is not that guy. I don't know if he'll ever be that guy, but he was the guy the Browns needed yesterday, that kind of player to make those extraordinary plays. He didn't do it. And here's what else happened. Because of what you were just talking about, too, where guys weren't getting open, where there wasn't separation, where there was nobody scaring that Dolphin defense, they got into the latter part of the second quarter and through the entire second half of bunching up the box, putting eight guys in, and that was the end of the running game for the Browns.
Right, and they got away from it, Trent Richardson, and I think at some point you have to commit to the running game. I know there are eight guys in the box, but good running backs will tell you they don't mind eight guys in the box because he has the ability, when you get eight guys in the box, if you get to the second level, you have the ability to be gone. I think a lot of the blame here, and we haven't brought it up just yet, because it has to fall on this offensive line, and Mitchell Schwartz struggled all day long. O'Neal Cousins was manhandled out there and looked like a guy making his first start. To me, the offensive line has to do a better job, because when you look at the stats, and you brought up Colin Kaepernick, and I'll say, okay, both teams had a great tight end who played very well. Vernon Davis had a great game for the 49ers. Jordan Cameron had a great game for the Cleveland Browns. Neither one of them had a true number one receiver out there. Kaepernick lost his and Michael Crabtree. Yep. He has Anquan Boldin coming in. The difference to me is A, in the skill of the quarterback. To me, you know, Colin Kaepernick is obviously a better quarterback than Brandon Weeden.
Than most other QBs in the league, yeah.
He's one of the best in the league. But also at the same time.
And I'm not saying Weeden has to be him, but he's got to do more of those things.
I agree. Yeah. Okay. But at the same time, to do that, and one of the things that I think it comes down to is comfort in the pocket. And when you're hit as much as he was hit, I mean, think about this. Yesterday, Colin Kaepernick threw 39 passes in that game. Dropped back 39 times. He was sacked twice. He was hit only three other times. He had a clean pocket. Brandon Weeden was hit 16 times and sacked another six times. So 22 of his 52 pass attempts resulted in him being, you know, 53 pass attempts resulted in him either being sacked and or hit to the ground. You got to give the guy a little bit of protection. I don't think that Brandon Weeden is the solution. I don't think Brandon Weeden is a guy that you can say, we're going to put the team on your back. But I also think at the same time, the offensive line's got to do a better job of giving him protection. Receivers have to do a better job of getting open. Josh Gordon will help, and he's got to be able to trust his reads and trust his line so that he's not just locked in. And this could be a combination of things, or maybe it's just Weeden. So that he's not locked so primarily on his first read, and then if that's not there, it's kind of like a little bit of panic time because he knows the clock is ticking.
It was a day when the offense did not have to do very much. The defense of the Browns
was awesome.
Sufficiently did the job to make this a winnable game for an offense that didn't have to go way, way above board to make it happen. So you get the pressure that this defense started to get in the second quarter, not so much in the first. Ryan Tannehill had a nice clean pocket to work with for most of the first quarter. But from the second quarter on, the pressure was cranked up. Those four sacks, the newcomers to this team doing their job, Desmond Bryant, two sacks, and Paul Kruger, Quinton Groves, each getting a sack. And then the general pressure. Jabal Sheard didn't get a sack, but he was close on multiple occasions. So it was doing its job defensively. The front seven was doing the job.
Yeah.
And I think they had the Dolphins. And, of course, they made them one-dimensional by stuffing the run. All you really had to do offensively was be efficient, not turn it over three times with those interceptions, and try to be and those plays didn't need to happen for various reasons. They did. Your quarterback's going to be culpable for the most part. Receivers having balls bounce off their hands. Was the ball coming in hot and whatever? Can he dial it down a little bit and take a little bit off the fastball? Rob Jedzinski talked about that today. Yeah, those things are there, but you weren't really asking this offense to do a ton to try to win this game, and it couldn't do it.
And that's the sad part, right? I said they were going to win 20-17. And the fact of the matter is this was a Cleveland Browns team that was ahead at halftime despite having thrown three interceptions in the first half.
Yeah.
They were ahead 7-6. Billy Cundiff made his only field goal attempt, so that was at least good on the kicking side. But at the same time, you're right. They were not asked to do much. The defense clearly, I think as the game went on, wore down a little bit. They were on the field quite a bit. It's just it was unfortunate to me to see basically the things that kept me up at night thinking about this game, the things that were my concerns. Heartline against our secondary, our second and third cornerbacks. That was a roasting. Brandon Gibson, by the way, in the slot had 7 catches for 77 yards, roasted us. When you look at their receivers, you know, they had a much better game than the Browns. Take Devon Bess. This is a guy with sure hands, typically very good. 10 targets, 5 catches. Benjamin, 8 targets, 3 catches. And then Greg Little, 10 and 4.
But again, some of those throws were off the mark, too.
Agreed.
I mean,
agreed.
But you can't win. Those numbers don't say that. But
you can't win in the National Football League when you throw 28 passes to your top three receivers and only 12 of them are completions and only 2 of those guys even average 10 yards a catch. You can't win in the NFL in that circumstance.
And yet, again, those plays started to happen too, with a Browns defense that had kept this team not only in the game, put this team in a position to win the game, eventually wears down. Eventually, without the help of this offense, this defense was on the field way too freaking long.
They gave the Dolphins had 20 yards rushing in the game.
Right.
That's it.
They took it away.
Mike Wallace, their big acquisition.
Yeah.
1 catch for 15 yards. 4 sacks on the quarterback.
We weren't worried about Mike Wallace.
We weren't.
We said Joe Hayden would take him out, and he did.
But if you can take away a team's number one receiver, limit them to 20 yards on the ground, you have to be able to do a better job against their second and third receiving options. It's not like they had a tight. They don't have a Jordan Cameron. They don't have a Vernon Davis.
Yeah.
The defense did great. The defense did a great job. The offense, very disappointing. I think 13 carries for 47 yards
very
for Trent.
Very disappointing.
And he's got to get the ball more. I don't care if there are 8 guys in the box. He's got to get the ball more. I don't care.
Maybe he's got to get it more. I'm not sure that the result is going to be better than that. And I didn't hate the game plan. What I didn't like more than anything was the execution. I think plays were there. When you study this, and I've spent this morning going over the tape of this game. There were plays to be made that didn't happen. And I'm talking about plays in the passing game that ultimately would have opened up the run. See, I think this idea that, well, just run more and you'll save everything. I'm not buying that. I'm not disagreeing that you've got to stay a little more patient and push things. But eventually, their defense adjusted to what the Browns couldn't do on offense. They couldn't throw the ball. When you're not throwing it effectively, you've got nothing to respect, and you could pour everything into stopping the run, you do. And you say, okay, Adrian Peterson deals with that. I don't know if Trent Richardson's Adrian Peterson. AP's in a class of his own. AP's on Mount Rushmore for running backs. Our guy isn't there yet. So let's keep perspective. By the way, you can call us 216-578-0850. 216, how'd you like that transition?
That was good.
216-578-0850. We will talk with you about this game. Tweet us.
Let somebody else yell at us.
Underscore
us yelling at each other.
Underscore daily. By the way, I think the yelling has just begun. we're going to be joined in the course of the show. We're looking for Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network to come aboard with us to join a roundtable along with Tom Withers from the Associated Press. Some of that being dictated by the locker room time here in Berea, where players available for the media to talk with, and then hopefully soon thereafter they'll be available. Rob Chudzinski, by the way, the head coach of the Browns, will join us in hour number 2. This will be a weekly feature on Mondays to have the head coach with us in the second hour of the show. Gerard Cherry, regular on the show, we'll get him in hour number 2 as well. So we are looking forward to those elements to hash this thing out. There's a lot to talk about. It's not pleasant discussion, but it's got to be discussed. We're going to try to fix this thing. We're going to try to find the solutions. A lot of terms like fixing. What can the coach? The questions that the coach was asked today, Nathan. How can you fix this? What can you do with the line? What can you do here? How do you repair what Whedon did? How do you repair what happened in the running game? I mean, on and on and on. And the answers are, yeah, they're working on it.
And the answer is, you've got to take advantage of the opportunities you can get, and you have to execute. That's it.
That's it.
You got to execute. Chances were there. At the end of the day, this was a game that could have been won, I think, if the Browns scored 23 points easily. They failed to do that. In today's NFL, it is difficult to win scoring less than 20 points.
The New York Giants, correct me if I'm wrong, a half dozen turnovers last night. Half dozen turnovers. It was god-awful. It looked horrendous. You saw Eli Manning as if he had never – the two-time Super Bowl MVP makes a throw on the first play of that game that you said if that had happened at First Energy Stadium yesterday – I don't even want to think about what the feeling would have been. I mean, ultimately, they did see the drive end with an interception by Brandon Weeden, but that one on play number one, okay, and they were still in the game. They still had a chance to beat the Cowboys after turning it over. As you said, in today's NFL, you can have all of the so-called stats that tell you you can't overcome that many turnovers and win. You're not supposed to overcome three interceptions and win a ball game. And by the way, it stayed true to form. The Browns didn't.
Well, and it also helped that Eli Manning could throw for 450 yards and four touchdowns in the game and averaged 10.7 yards per attempt.
And Victor Cruz make a couple of nice touchdown catches.
Three different receivers who had 100 yards in that game and averaged over 20 yards per catch. That helps old Eli Manning keep things in the game there, no doubt.
All right, we're just getting this thing started. Yeah, we're going to keep hammering at it. It's Vic Carucci. It is Nathan Zagura. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily at Driven by... I can't even say it.
I'm flustered.
What is it?
Driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850.
I was going to say it was driven by ESPN.
On ESPN 850, WKNR.
Thanks, saving me, yes.
Yeah, I can turn this thing on.